what it means for us to love our neighbor. The second commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, is the commandment on which hang all these commandments. Good for us to know what God says in his word about these. I might just say at this point how much Sheila Hemsworth and Norm appreciate your visits and your care and your prayers and the gifts and the food and the flowers, all the things that our folks have been doing to be a help and a blessing to Sheila and Norm as they work through this health crisis. Do please be in prayer. Sheila and Norm are persuaded that the physical condition is not going to change for the better, but learning to live with it and how to medicate to cope with the pains that she's having. So please do continue to pray. She said to specially ask everyone to pray, and thank you very much for all your help. Let's seek the Lord now. Heavenly Father, this is a morning we have set aside to meet together in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we're asking, Heavenly Father, for you to bless these that we're aware of that need your help. Our dear Teresa Robinson, Lord, is struggling with some health issues this morning. And then we pray for Zee and Tom as the time approaches, only about 2.5 weeks away until Z's surgery, and we're asking for help and preparation and blessing, guidance and provision, Lord, all the things that are needed there. We pray also, Heavenly Father, for Francois Serrette, asking for your blessing on him and his family as they try to minister in Mauritius. And then, Lord, we want to be sure and remember to pray for Sheila and Norm in this trial, and that you will uphold them, Lord, and help us to be a help to them. We ask, Heavenly Father, for your blessing on others that we're not aware of, that are in need, and we're praying for our own needs this morning, Lord, that as we read and hear, as we receive the Word of God and engraft it into our hearts, that you will be doing those things that we need so much within, the things that we're not even aware of. Lord, we pray for any who are without Christ this morning in the service, that they may see that the Lord Jesus loved them and gave himself for them, and that they can trust in him and be assured of eternal life. Lord, let your word talk to our hearts. Help us have hearing ears and hearts, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're reading from the 31st verse of John 13. John 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The phrase in the middle of verse 34 is our text, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You can read the rest of the text, that ye also love one another. Dr. Paul Brand was a missionary doctor in India for many years. He's been gone home to be with the Lord now probably about 20 years, maybe a little bit longer. He was a pioneer doctor in leprosy research. He wanted to know why the terrible injuries lepers suffered, where did they come from, what was the cause. And through his research, he was able to find the source. They changed the name of it. They called it Hansen's disease. And literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people in India and other nations around the world now have been helped because of Dr. Brand's research. He told that in one of his books, there are about five books about Dr. Brand, and every one of them is refreshing to read, a real challenge to read. If you want to read something that will help you have a tender heart, read Dr. Brand's books. In one of his books, he tells about being in a hospital in India where he was training interns, young Indian doctors, entering into a life of service of others. And he said one day in one of the wards, one of the interns was examining a female patient, a lady in a bed, and he had taught this young intern had his hand in under the sheet, the bed sheet, and he was feeling of the abdomen of this lady who had some complaint or disease. And as he is feeling of her organs, Dr. Brand said that there is no diagnostic tool as good as the human hand. And as this young intern is feeling of her stomach and asking her questions and looking at her face, there was such a look of concern and compassion and interest and care on the face of this young intern that Dr. Brand, watching him as he examined this lady, Dr. Brand caught his breath. It was like he said, surprise on his face. And the young interns all looked at him when he made that sound, and they all said, and he said, so after they were out of the ward, the young interns came to him and they said, Dr. Brand, what was that all about? Why did you do that? And he said, I was so surprised to see that look on your face as you were examining the patient. That look of care and concern and compassion and interest. You really cared about that patient. And I was so surprised at that because when I was being trained by my old doctor in England who was teaching me how to be a doctor, your look on your face was his look on his face and you never met him. And the interns all laughed. They said, no. We never met him, but the look on his face was the look on your face when you examined patients. Oh. So Dr. Brand had learned, and then his interns learned from him. You know, there's a lesson there for us in that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus. How many of you know the verse in 1 Peter chapter 2? You probably know it by memory, where the Apostle Peter writes, for even hereunto were ye called. This is what God has called you to. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should, what? Follow his steps. Follow his steps. I don't know if any of us ever precisely walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, but we can follow his steps. We can follow the path he has trod. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower, a learner, someone who's a spiritual apprentice. We're interned to Christ. He is our pattern. He's our model. And when we read those verses there in John chapter 13 and verse number 34, the Lord Jesus says, this is the new commandment, that ye love one another. Now, there's a lot included in that one another. There's a brother. There's a sister in the Lord. There's a husband's love for his wife, the wife's love for her husband, the parent's love for the children. But it's even larger than that, because the Lord also tells us in Scripture that we are to love our enemy. And there it really begins to bite, because we don't have a natural affection for someone who would do us harm. We're to love our enemy. We're to love those that persecute us. Those that blaspheme against us. And so this command here that ye love one another as I have loved you. You know, when we think about the Ten Commandments, we've got to always remember that the Ten Commandments are actually an expression, the second table of the law is an expression of the second commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's where John 13 and verse 34 comes in, that you love one another. That you love one another. It's important for us to hold on to this, for us to remember this, to build this into our lives more and more. This is what it is to be a disciple of Christ. As the Lord Jesus loved his disciples, he taught them to love one another. We can't emphasize this too much. Now, last week, we put up the word neighbor on the board up here. And we, beside the first letter, we put the rest of the word for Nazarenes, the people who lived in the city of Nazareth. And if your memory is functioning properly and you were here last week, you'll remember that when the Lord Jesus came to Nazareth, which was his hometown, it's where he grew up most of his years, when he came to his hometown and preached the first sermon we have recorded in the Bible that Jesus preached, Luke chapter 4, you will remember that they rejected him. They did not accept what the Lord Jesus had to say. So strong was the rejection that they would have murdered him. They took him out to the brow of the hill and would have cast him over. And that would have been the end of his ministry, except that the Lord Jesus turned and walked through the midst of them and went down to Capernaum, and that became the home base. We took note of this last week, how that the Lord Jesus loved his neighbors, the Nazarenes, in that he gave them the first opportunity to respond to his preaching ministry, and they rejected it. But then we noticed that he came back again. And we found in Scripture that there was a second visit to Nazareth. We don't know how many others there were. There may have been many, but we have two recorded. And we learn about love in that the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us, love for our neighbor, does not give up on others. It loves others again and again and again and again. And so this morning I want to talk to you about one of the other letters that's here. I'm going to surprise you a little bit because we're not going to the letter E. We'll come back to that. But as I prayed about this, I came to the conclusion that we need to consider the Lord Jesus' love for a man whose surname was Iscariot. What's his first name? Judas. Almost everyone knows the name of Judas. Take a look with me here in John chapter 13. Brother Kev Curl has challenged me with his book and made me look at scriptures somewhat with new eyes. In chapter 13, in verse number one, the scripture says here, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Now we read those two words, "his own," in that verse. He loved his own. It fits here. The Lord Jesus' disciples were also his neighbors. And he loved them. He loved them to start with. He tells us down in verses 34 and 35 that he loved them and he wanted them to follow his example. Now, Judas was not one of the saved disciples. We're going to talk about how there was a disciple among them who never came to faith in Christ. A lost man among the 12 disciples. And yet the Lord Jesus loved Judas. He chose him to be a disciple. He chose him to be a learner, a follower. We make a great mistake, dear Christian friend, if we assume that everyone in the Bible who is called a disciple is a saved person. Did you know that there are many who learn, who attempt to follow, who would call themselves a disciple of Christ, who are not born again? Did you know that? Judas is an example. Judas was a learner. Judas was a disciple. Judas was a follower. And yet Judas was not born again. He never was converted to Christ. In John chapter 6, we read there that when the Lord Jesus taught some tough, difficult to understand truths, it says many of his disciples went away and walked no more with him. And we might say, why would the Lord Jesus do that? Wouldn't you think he'd try to keep the crowds? No, he wouldn't. The Lord Jesus often confronted professing disciples to see whether their profession was real or whether it was pretense. This morning in the congregation, in all likelihood, if this church is the same as other churches are, there are people who are sitting here who would call themselves Christians, but they've never been saved. It's always been the case. Something like 50 years ago, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention in the United States said that he believed that fully half their membership were unconverted. Has the situation improved any in 50 years? Is it possible this morning that we have 10% or 20% or 50% of the congregation that does not know the Lord Jesus? Judas was a disciple, but he was an unconverted disciple. Let's think more about this man, Judas. The Lord Jesus loved Judas even though he was not converted. Who was Judas? His name tells us that he came from a little village down in the south of the tribe of Judah that was called Kerioth. That little village is almost the southernmost village you will find when you look at a map of the land of Judah. That was his city. It was a little desert town. His father was Simon the leper. We read about him. He's called the leper in Mark chapter 14. But if you'll turn back a page in John chapter 12, you'll find that we actually know something about him. At this point in the life of Christ, Judas' father had a house in Bethany that was just to the east of Jerusalem, not much more than a stone's throw to the east. In John chapter 12, it says here in verse number 4, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." This is in the house, this in the city of Bethany, and we're told elsewhere that this is Simon's house. So Judas' father was Simon. Mark tells us in chapter 14 he'd been a leper. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that early in the ministry of Christ, possibly as early as near the baptism of the Lord Jesus, when John the Baptist baptized him in Jordan, that Simon the leper came up from Kerioth, and the Lord Jesus healed him of his leprosy, and he became an older disciple who followed Christ. Possibly he could not go on the preaching tours, but his son Judas began to follow the Lord Jesus. Bible students say they think that Judas following Christ may have begun about the time that Peter and Andrew and James and John began to follow the Lord Jesus. His office among the 12 disciples was that of the treasurer. He was the man that carried the bag. The bag would have had gifts of money that people would give to Jesus or give to one of his disciples to feed the poor, to buy clothing, to buy medicine if that was needed, and that money was put into the bag, and that Judas carried the treasury. No one suspected him of any wrongdoing, but he made the choice to steal from the bag. There was a thief among the disciples. We read that in chapter 12. If you look here in chapter 12, it says here to us that Mary of Bethany anointed the feet of Jesus with the ointment of spikenard in verse 3. In verse 4, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence, 300 days' wages, and given to the poor?" And then the next verse says, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief." and had the bag and bear what was put therein. We're told elsewhere in Scripture that when Judas dipped his hand into the treasury and pulled out money and stuck it in his own pocket, he used it to buy a piece of ground. It wasn't the potter's field. That was a separate piece of ground that was owned by the Jews, possibly by the city of Jerusalem. But he bought for himself a homestead. And it was on that homestead, when the Lord Jesus was judged to be crucified, that Judas went out and hanged himself on his own ground that he'd bought with what he'd stolen out of the bag. Oh, dear friends, if there's a picture to us in Scripture of what covetousness does, of the desire to be rich, an immoderate desire for wealth, if there's a picture to us in the Bible, this is a great picture. Judas wanted what was not rightfully his and spent it selfishly and then paid the price. There's a consequence for every choice we make. We must remember, dear friends, we must remember that Judas was Jesus' neighbor and he loved him. I've never thought that thought before just the last few weeks. One of Jesus' neighbors was the man who betrayed him. Jesus loved the man that would betray him. You know, the Lord Jesus knew all about that. He was so familiar with that. Scripture tells us several times that he knew Judas was the traitor. I think I've written the references down here, and we'll see if we can find these references. I don't want you to just sit there and wonder where they are. Let me look at my notes here just a moment. Let's go further with this, and I think we'll pick up on this as we go along. If I've neglected to write those references down, come to me and we'll look them up. All right? How did Jesus love Judas? How did Jesus love Judas? I hope in this series of messages on loving our neighbor, please bear with me on this. This is important to us. I hope that our concept of love can move from an unbiblical, worldly, self-centered, carnal, lustful definition of love, which is what the world has, move to that biblical definition of love that takes us away from romance and emotion and affection as being the boundaries of biblical love, takes us away from that to the act of the will, to where we love people without even thinking about whether we like them or not, without thinking about whether our emotions are stirred by this person, but that we love people by serving them. You know, you had opportunities this week, and I expect many of you did it, that you had opportunities this week to serve people. And you didn't even think about it being love. You had opportunities this week to make sacrifices for people. You had opportunities this week to give, to assist, to show care and show concern and uplift. I suppose this week that if Oliver sitting over here, Oliver is one of my friends and I like Oliver a whole lot. If Oliver was at the grocery store with his mom, and they were putting their groceries in the car, and he saw a very elderly lady trying to put her groceries in the car, and the bottom of the bag split, and the groceries just crashed on the ground, and things started rolling away. Do you know what I think Oliver would do? He would run, and he would start picking them up, and he would hand them to the lady, or he'd put them in the boot of the car for the lady. And you know something? When he got back to where his mom was, mom would say, "Oliver, you know what you just did? You loved your neighbor." Oliver would say, "What?" And mom would say, "You didn't give her a Valentine's Day card, did you?" "No." "Well, you didn't have to, because you love people without Valentine's Day cards. Did you buy her any chocolates?" "No." Well, you loved her by serving her. Oh, if we can get hold of that and see that that's what the Lord calls us to. The Lord Jesus loved his neighbor. He loved Nicodemus. Someone would say, a Pharisee? The Lord Jesus loved a Pharisee? Yes, he did. He loved Nicodemus and said the most important thing to Nicodemus he had ever heard, ye must be born again. The Lord Jesus loved the woman at the well in John chapter 4. No romance, no emotion in the sense of worldly affections. There was simply the truth told to her that he was the Messiah, and by telling her that truth, he loved a sinner. The Lord Jesus loved the soldier that thrust the spear into his side on the cross. He loved those soldiers that spiked him to the cross. He loved the thieves on either side. He loved his neighbor. Just so the Lord Jesus teaches this about Judas, there are four things that the Lord Jesus did that showed his love for Judas. Number one, he told him the truth. The most loving thing you can do for anyone is graciously and kindly to tell them the truth. Ephesians 4:15 says that we are to speak the truth in what? In love. Brother Sid Hunter used to say there's nothing more loving than telling the truth, and there's nothing more truthful than loving someone. We're to speak the truth in love. And so the Lord Jesus spoke the truth to Judas. Look in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Here at the end of the chapter, the Lord Jesus says this to all of his disciples and those who were gathered to hear. In verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself. Ah, if Judas had an ear to hear, he would understand that the Lord Jesus knew about his hand in the bag. And he said to him, deny yourself. Verse 35, for whosoever will save his life. Did he hear the voice of the Spirit of God saying to him, oh, Judas, whosoever will buy himself a homestead with stolen money will lose his life. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Verse 36, Judas, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Lord Jesus loved Judas by telling him the truth. Look in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Judas was a thief. He carried the bag that the offerings given to Jesus were in. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, the Lord Jesus was loving Judas when he said this to him, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, did Judas have ears to hear? Did Judas have ears to hear? Oh, friend, the Lord Jesus loved Judas by speaking the truth to him faithfully, confrontationally, reproving and rebuking when there was need. When the Lord Jesus spoke to the people there in Jerusalem, when they told him about the people who Herod had killed, told him about the wall falling on some people, and the Lord Jesus said, do you suppose those men were sinners more than everybody else? And then he said twice, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Judas, that's for you. Judas, unless you repent of your covetousness and your stealing, you will perish. The same as all the others. And so the Lord Jesus loved Judas by telling him the truth. And then go back with me, please, to John 13. Did you know the Lord Jesus, when he washed his disciples' feet, did you know he washed Judas' feet as well? I've never thought about that until just recently. It says here in John chapter 13, it says in verse number 4, he riseth from supper, that's the Lord Jesus, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then Simon Peter, as always, impetuous Peter, says, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And the Lord Jesus said, except I wash thy feet, thou hast no part with me. Peter, me washing your feet indicates that we are in fellowship together. And Peter says to him, thou shalt never, he's very strong. If you go and read it in the Greek New Testament, very strong, you'll never wash my feet. Not ever. Don't even think about it. It was that sort of attitude. And the Lord Jesus says, Peter, you need your feet washed. There's a great lesson here. We can't go there today. But he says to, when he explains it to Peter, except I do this, you have no fellowship with me. You have no part with me. Then Peter says, well, wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head. That's just Peter, isn't it? Most American of all the apostles. And somebody said, yeah, right. Well, the Lord Jesus then said to him, and I want you to see the verse. Please take note of the verse. In verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed, that's talking about salvation, needeth not save to wash his feet. That's talking about cleansing and fellowship. So if you're saved, you don't need to be saved again. You just need to be saved once, but you do need to have the daily cleansing with the water of the word. Needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not Judas. Does it say that? But not all. That's what he's talking about. And when we go down to verse number 18, the Lord Jesus says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Judas had already been to the high priest and his mates, and he'd already said to them, how much would you pay me if I betray Jesus to you? If I hand him over to you in a place and at a time when the crowds are not there, how much will you give me? And they begin to argue, and they begin to discuss it and negotiate. And they came to the conclusion that Judas would take the payment. There's the covetousness again. Judas would receive the payment of the price of a slave for the life of the king. King of kings and Lord of lords, the creator of the universe, the lawgiver from Sinai, the shepherd king, the redeemer, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, was sold for the price of a slave. He'd already agreed. He'd already worked it out. All that was waiting was just the details as to where they could arrest the Lord Jesus and take him away. So the Lord Jesus knew beforehand. And yet, the Lord Jesus washed his feet. He knew him and he loved him. And it says that he washed their feet. Judas was unwashed as far as salvation was concerned. But the Lord Jesus served him and reached out to him, because he loved him. Then there's a third thing we need to notice, and that is, Brother Kev Curl pointed this out in his book, and I didn't know this. He offered to him a token of his love. We read the verses here in chapter 13 where the Lord Jesus said, when the disciples asked him, who is it? The disciples in verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another. Verse 21 says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He knew, and he knew who it was. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered in verse 26, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. Now, I never gave any significance, never saw any significance in this other than that it was an indicator who it was who would betray the Lord Jesus. But Kev Curl told us that in Jewish times, in Jewish homes, at Jewish meals, it is often the practice that the last of the food in the bowl, taking flat bread, rolling it together, that the host will reach into the bowl and scoop up the last and give it to the person he loves. And so the Lord Jesus, Brother Kev says, the Lord Jesus dipped the sop in the bowl and handed it to Judas. Now, we saw only in that that's who's going to betray him. What did Judas see? Judas saw the Lord Jesus reaching out to him again. He knew. And yet he reached out to Judas and extended to him the last of the meal. He gave him the sop. Then there's a fourth thing. And this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read about it in two or three places in the Gospels. I'm just going to tell you this and then we'll close. When Judas brought the enemies of Christ to arrest the Lord Jesus, he told them, he said, when we go into the garden, even with the torches, even with the flaming torches, it's going to be dark. It's going to be shadowy. So you'll know who it is that is Jesus. I'm going to go to him and I'm going to greet him. I'm going to say to him, Rabbi, Master, and I'm going to kiss him on the cheek. And when I kiss him on the cheek, you'll know that's the one. Arrest him. When they came into the garden, the Lord Jesus and his disciples were there. Jesus had been praying. The disciples, three of them were nearby and they'd fallen asleep. The others, I expect, were asleep further back. Judas comes into the garden and there's quite a tumult. There were quite a few people there with Judas, the soldiers from the temple. The guards were there. No telling what other rabble was along. And as they came into the garden, the Lord Jesus is greeted by Judas with the word, Master. And then Judas kissed the Lord Jesus on his cheek. And the Lord Jesus said to him, Friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? First he said to him, Wherefore art thou come? And then he said, in one of the other Gospels, Friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Have you ever heard the saying, the Judas kiss? Have you ever heard that? When someone professes friendship and love for you, but they are guilty of betrayal, they will betray you to your enemies. They will turn you over to those who would do you harm. That's what happened in the garden. And yet the Lord Jesus called him friend. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Betrayest the Son of Man with a kiss? Friend. The Lord Jesus reached out again. I'm telling you, Jesus loved his neighbor. He loved his neighbors even to the extent of loving those who would slay him. He loved Judas who betrayed him. He reached out to him. What an example there is to us in this. Raymond Sorrells was a missionary in New Guinea for some years, and he made this comment. If you remember nothing else today, can you remember this? Judas kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. There's a lesson there for us. It's possible for any person to come very, very close to being saved, even to the point of professed affection for Christ. But if the heart is not there, you can kiss the door to heaven and go to hell. What a tragedy that would be to come that close to heaven and turn away and be lost forever. So what lessons do these things have for us this morning? I want to say to you this morning There is an example for us here. When the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in John 13, 34 and 35, when he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." The Lord Jesus says to us, I want you to understand that my example is for you to follow my footsteps. My example is for you. Here's a thought for us this morning before we go. Love for our neighbor looks for others to love. Love for self closes out the neighbor and wishes it had none. No obligations to anyone else. Love for self never seeks another neighbor to love. But the Lord Jesus did, and he is our example. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So I ask you this question this morning with Judas in mind. I ask you the question, is the love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto you? If the love of God is in our heart as a believer, that love displaces resentment and revenge. It teaches us how to love the neighbor that is disloyal, or the brother that is disloyal. It teaches us to love the one that would sell us out to our enemies, the one that would give a Judas kiss to mark our cheek. And we say, "Pastor, that's too hard to do. I still have the wounds. Sometimes I think I have the knife in my back still from those people that have betrayed or have stabbed me in the back." And the Lord Jesus said, "Are they your neighbor? Then you're obligated to love them. You're obligated to do them good when they do you harm." In the bulletin this morning, notable quotes and quotable notes, there's a little saying in there that says, when you bury the hatchet, be sure not to leave the handle sticking out. Okay? Because we're so prone to say, "I've got it again." But love for our neighbor displaces malice and resentment and rejection. The Lord Jesus had a love for Judas. D.L. Moody printed a gospel tract one time simply called The Gospel. And it was actually a sermon of Moody's. And in that sermon he said this, that when the Lord Jesus was risen from the dead, and when he would commission his disciples to go out into the world, he said to them, "I want you to go and tell everyone." And Simon Peter said, "Everyone?" The Lord Jesus said, "Everyone." He said, "Lord, what about those people that ripped your beard off your face?" "Yes, tell them the good news. There's forgiveness through faith in me, in Christ." "Lord, what about the ones that put the crown of thorns on your head?" "Yes, tell them too." "What about those that smote you when you were blindfolded? What about those that beat your back? What about those that nailed you to the cross? What about those that mocked you when you were on the cross? What about those? Should we tell them too?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Yes, tell them all. Tell everyone." Because you see, love for our neighbor is the motivation for spreading the gospel. It's what compels us and constrains us to tell others about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus loved his neighbor. He loved Judas. He's our example for us to follow his footsteps. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that we may be able to digest those things that seem to be unpalatable to the old nature, that we may embrace the truth of God. Certainly Judas was known beforehand, and yet the Lord loved him and reached out to him again and again and again. He did not reject him. He did not refuse him. He did not exclude him, but he reached out and reached out and reached out, and yet Judas would not believe. Oh Lord, help us to love those who are determined not to believe in Christ. Help us to reach out toward them again and again, we pray. Help us to love our neighbor, to follow the footsteps of Jesus, we ask in his precious name. Amen.